This is Health First with Kathy Hart, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Roland Griffith with us today. He's the author of Finding Peace, One Pop at a Time. He's a successful entrepreneur, a humanist, a public speaker, and business leader who has achieved peace, increased his personal joy and hope, and developed a system to help others. So today we have Roland on the show to help us find peace, one pop at a time. Welcome, Roland.
Hey, thank you, Kathy. How you doing?
Really well, really well. So what is this one pop at a time? Can you explain it to our listeners?
Well, a pop is my jargon for a piece of peace, P-I-E-C-E of P-E-A-C-E.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an intentional momentary break of that negative mental chatter that goes on in the back of our mind.
Mm-hmm. Roland, can you tell me a little bit about your own personal walk with mental health problems and finding your way to this peace, one piece at a time, mm-hmm. one piece of peace at a time?
Yeah, it was quite a journey for me. I started out as a youngster, growing up in a very legalistic household, and listened to a lot of church was the main topic in my household, about the only topic, and so I from the pulpit heard a lot of hellfire and brimstone from the cradle on, and so I kind of I thought God was kind of mean because I just couldn't be perfect enough based on everything I was hearing from the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was the start of my difficulties as I grew up as an adult. I was just, more of a thinker than I think a lot of people because of that upbringing, not having that support, when I was a little toddler and so on.
Mm-hmm. So your upbringing caused a lot of fear and depression just by the way you were raised.
Yeah, I think, my concept, and anybody that reads my book will understand real quick, like that my feeling about depression is it is basically just a tendency of going in and out of moods, and that moods come from thoughts and extended thoughts from the mind and so on. And if we overextend our time in the mind, like I did for decades, that's the result. And so I finally found out the trick is to learn how to interfere with the mind stories. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. And so first of all, you have to understand that if I kind of step back and watch your mind, seeing it as an observer.
Exactly. Exactly. You kind of develop an ability to do that. And When you listen to stories, that most your mind is not in sync with present time. Your mind is basically sending out portrayals about stories about the past, and if you go very long into those, they get more and more dramatic, and it usually brings about anger and remorse and regret, that kind of thing.
Fear, depression.
Pardon?
I say fear, depression.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So then once we see that and we're watching that little film of what's going on in our mind, what's the next step?
Well, the next step is once you recognize that's kind of the key to depression and moodiness, is it's a matter of what's listed in my book is experimenting with pops. And by experimenting, you find things that you can create with your senses, such as your vision, your hearing, your touch, and so on. And if you can start doing these things just as a matter of practice for 2-3 seconds at a time, you are stopping whatever's going on in the mind. In fact, you don't have a problem in the world at that particular time because the mind's not operating. when your senses are working, your mind stops.
Ah, so go back to what do I smell? What do I hear? What do I feel? What do I see?
Yeah, you can ask that. Better yet, I've got a whole list of them in the book, but an illustration might be you look out your front window of your house and this tree that's always been there that you probably haven't paid much attention to, just stop and look at the shape of the beautiful tree, just for 2-3 seconds, or maybe the chair you're sitting in, just feel the chair, or look around in the room that you're sitting in, just look at not the furnishings, but the air around you, the space. Those kinds of things are sort of igniting your senses, and what happens by experimenting with this over time, you're creating awareness of the mind and its activity. And the more you create awareness, the more you are starting to catch moments of the present, which is where peace lies, and the more you do it, you'll all of a sudden find these little aha moments where you are aware. You see the blue sky that you hadn't seen before, mm-hmm. or you hear the bird singing that you hadn't heard before. And that's a new direction that you will want to follow, because that makes a tremendous difference in life.
Mm-hmm. And you were on medications for quite a while through your book and in the stories. And your doctors are very surprised when your mind cleared. How did you explain that to them?
Well, yeah, I had a morning back in 2003, in March of 2003, where I woke up one morning. This is after 18 years of research about depression. And I woke up, and it was an experience that I'll never forget. I mean, my senses were just so keen that I just sat there for a few minutes. My wife was downstairs fixing breakfast, and I just looked around, and I thought, wow, I think for the first time ever, depression is behind me. And so I tiptoed to the bottom of the stairs and peeked around the corner, and Connie was fixing breakfast and just got a glimpse of me, and come rushing over to me. I didn't have to say a word. She could just see the look on my face. And so we've been celebrating that ever since. And it's just really changed my life. But
And has that been an extended period of time?
What happened is I went for about a year without a bad mood, which was just like unheard of for me. Mm-hmm. And then it started kind of creeping back in. I could feel a little moodiness here and there, and it really concerned me. I didn't want to go back there. And so that particular summer, skimmed through 300 books and got the meat out of them and kind of developed what I thought was the magical answer to never letting that happen again. And by bringing down the... by kind of bringing that veil of the mind down to it's kind of like reducing the drama, the mountains of drama, down to speed bumps, more or less. It just lowers that drama down considerably when you follow these steps.
Mm-hmm. And do you have them well laid out in the book? Like, is there just like step by step in your little book for finding the piece, one pop at a time, one piece of peace at a time? How do you what's the emergency button? How do you jump onto it?
I do. I have it all laid out in the book. I try to keep it as simple as possible. The whole book just takes about an hour to hour and a half to read, and I do have step by step. It's probably not the easiest thing. It's not near as easy to understand by trying to communicate it in a conversation as it is to read it, because there are steps in it. But there is the very first step you take is you sit down for 60 seconds with a clock with a second hand on it and just kind of time yourself and observe your mind just to see how much it is in the present time. And most people start out kind of like I did and find out that, gosh, their mind's bouncing all over the place, into the past or into the future and so on. And And that is just a little sampling where you're almost trying to keep it in the present time. And so to think what it's doing, you know, on an average day, it's almost alarming.
Mm-hmm.
But from there on, there's a way to kind of create a little starting place. And then I have a daily log where you never do that exercise again, but you create a little starting place. And there's a log that you can follow that you can make a little daily entry that just kind of shows you how you are gaining more presence each day. And it's kind of motivating. And so that's what it's about.
Roland, can you tell me, how do you know if you're really in the present moment? How do you judge if you're in the present moment? Or is it just non-judgment?
You feel it. You feel it. You look around you. You can see where you are. You can see that here I am. I'm standing on the earth. I'm standing on the floor. I'm looking around. I'm aware of my presence and so on. Versus walking down the road and with your mind engaged. There's a difference mm-hmm. that you can definitely feel.
Mm-hmm. And when you feel stress coming on or your moodiness again, how do you disconnect back to the present moment then?
Then that's when you start engaging POPs.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you start engaging POPs to create that awareness again.
And that's taking your awareness to all your senses?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And then watching the mental stream and seeing what's going on and then going outside of it to let it go.
Yeah, you're kind of observing it. And once you start observing your mind, that's when it slows down or stops occasionally. And it quiets down when you observe what it's doing. And there's a whole other aspect that I don't talk too much about in the book, that as time goes on, you really develop a sense that you're not the same as your mind. Who you are is you are a human being, mm-hmm. and the mind is a tool, but the mind has nothing to do with who you are. And most of us aren't taught that as little kids as we grow up, and so we don't really quite understand that as we grow into our adult life, that there's a total separation. The mind has nothing to do with who we are.
Mm-hmm. Roland, we're going to have to go to a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to continue talking about your book, Finding Peace, One Pop at a Time.